The Senate has taken the first step to end the government shutdown after a group of moderate Democrats agreed to proceed without a guaranteed extension of health care subsidies. Joining us now is Michael Bitzer from Catawba College. Michael can also be found at bowtiepolitics.com. Michael, how are you?
I've just gotten out of class. Glad to join you.
Thank you for rushing over right after you finished talking to students. Was it inevitable that Democrats were actually going to give in, as some of their critics would say?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, I think it was probably a 50-50 split as to who would lose the game of budget chicken. I think it came as a surprise that a core group of perceived to be more moderate Democrats, some of whom are not running until 2028 or 2030, cut this deal for the budget impasse to finally be broken. But I think certainly everybody was expecting who would blink first. And I think we got a pretty clear, now looking back on it, clear impression from Friday when Chuck Schumer came to the Senate floor, offered what he thought was a pretty good compromise, and Republicans just basically said no. So I'm not surprised that we're finally at the end of this historically long government shutdown. Probably by the end of the week, government should be back open. But I think, you know, the reaction is certainly fierce from the more progressive side of the Democratic Party. But we'll have to see what this, you know, vote in the middle of December on the health care subsidies will bring about.
And this comes less than a week after sweeping Democratic wins in New Jersey, in New York City, and in Virginia from a base that really wanted more from Democratic leaders and continues to want more. Do you think this deal by the moderate Democrats will alienate that base?
I'm not so sure it will alienate them as much irritate them and aggravate them. I think, you know, the impression that I'm getting is that they want Schumer's head on a platter in terms of his leadership. Now, he's voting against this deal, but I don't think anybody can, you know, perceive themselves to see that as being on their side. I think certainly the wins from Tuesday, this for some of them probably felt like the wind was knocked out of them last night and into this morning with this deal, and certainly wanted Democrats to put up more of a front because of all the, you know, pretty significant and surprising wins, particularly in Virginia, with them picking up, I think it was 13 House of Delegates seats. That was really the biggest surprise, I think, of last Tuesday. But now we're kind of seeing where things are going to have to settle out for Democrats.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this with you, because I know you've been following the situation in Rockingham County, and Republicans have been unified for the most part over the last 8 years since Donald Trump became the main figure in the GOP. But now Phil Berger is facing a primary challenge from someone within Rockingham County, and it is the sheriff of that county. And it's fascinating to see this going on with Sam Page challenging Phil Berger. How nasty has this gotten?
I think this adds credence to the idea there is no unified political party, either on the left or on the right. My understanding is that this is very much a grassroots battle between perceived wings and sides within the local Republican Party there in Rockingham. And I think it's, you know, no matter how much money gets pumped in, and we've seen pretty significant investments, particularly by pro-Berger side of special interest groups and PACs, this will come down to loyalty within the Republican Party of Rockingham County. And, you know, I think one of the deciding factors will be outside of the county, where do those votes tend to go? But this is certainly something that, you know, within a political party, this is deep, this is divided, and We'll have to see how March's primary plays itself out.
What has been the resentment, or what has bred the resentment that Phil Berger has garnered in Rockingham County?
My understanding is that, you know, certainly the casino issue that came up recently really divided the county over it. And I think also the issue of not just Phil Berger, but his family. The kind of familial aspects of what Republican Party politics in that county has been like has kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And I think when you get into this intra-party feud almost, you know, no matter how much money you pump into it, people, if they have made up their minds and they're on one camp side or they're on the other side, they're not going to be budging in any way, shape, or form. And oftentimes, sheriffs are real power players within county politics, in this state at least. And this is going to be a really interesting battle to kind of see it play itself out.
And they're probably, it's arguable that Phil Berger has been the most powerful figure in North Carolina politics over the last 15 years. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Certainly, Phil Berger has received support for some third-party ads as of late, but just the fact that those ads are airing shows you that there is concern about his seat right now.
I mean, 5 months before a primary, you know, before any major holiday, you know, we got through Halloween, but we haven't even hit Thanksgiving. And this speaks, I think, to the intensity that this primary battle will be held in.
Michael Bitzer, you can find him at bowtiepolitics.com. That's also his handle on Twitter, at bowtiepolitics, or on X if you prefer, from Catawba College. Michael, always great having you on. Take care. We'll talk again soon.
Good to be with you.